coming up, Eurogroup finance ministers say they're concerned at the impact of high inflation on people's purchasing power. Serious concerns have been raised over not fit for purpose facilities for students with special educational needs at an Inishowen school. The National Public Health Emergency Team is currently reviewing the use of masks in primary schools. The Dáil has been told that cancer patients in the Ceuta region have the worst outcomes in Europe. And a boy from Kilcar has been commended for bravery by the HSE's National Ambulance Service. Good evening. Oisin Kelly will be here too with all the latest in sport. We're turning to our top story though. Eurogroup finance ministers say they are concerned at the impact of high inflation on people's purchasing power. Inflation rates in the Eurozone hit a record high of 5.1% in January. President of the Eurogroup finance minister Pascal Donoghue says ministers are keeping a close eye on developments.
The change in inflation, the upswing, is affecting growth and is affecting the purchasing power of our citizens. It's something, therefore, that finance ministers are naturally concerned about, which is why the Eurogroup is monitoring these developments closely.
The Dáil has been told that cancer patients in the Ceuta region have the worst outcomes in Europe. Independent TD Sean Canny was speaking during a debate on the cost of cancer care, during which he called for investment in the regional cancer centre in Galway, as well as in other level 3 hospitals across the region, including Letterkenny.
The probability of receiving a timely diagnosis of cancer and surviving the disease differs substantially across Europe. And because of the major inequity in the access to cancer diagnostics and treatments, the chances of surviving cancer are reduced in the west of Ireland relative to the rest of the country and the rest of Europe. That's a fact. The Ceuta Cancer Centre, based in the Model 4 Hospital at Galway University Hospital, delivers a programme of cancer care to an overall catchment of approximately 1 million people across the Ceuta group. It includes Connacht and Donegal. The Ceuta region consists of some of the most rural and deprived areas nationally associated with the Western Seaboard. Ceuta has a larger, older population compared to the national population. Cancer is the leading cause of premature mortality in the Ceuta group, and according to the National Cancer Register of Ireland, cancer patients from this region have the worst cancer outcomes in Ireland. The case for investment in cancer infrastructure is self-evident and requires fast-tracking and urgent action to optimise and improve outcomes for our population. However, it does not go far enough, as COVID-19 has exposed other infrastructural deficits at Galway University Hospital in the form of the lack of inpatient beds, dedicated cancer theatres and ICU capacity, and deficits in infrastructure in our level 3 hospitals across the Ceuta region. A person with cancer in the west of Ireland should expect the same outcome as any other patient in Ireland or Europe.
During the same debate, Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle hit out at the use of debt collection agencies by the HSE and called for the abolition of inpatient charges for cancer patients and an overhauling of parking charges at Irish hospitals.
Even without the additional costs involved, the Irish Cancer Society reports that cancer patients face a loss of €1,500 per month on average. That means that people facing one of life's toughest battles are already feeling financial strain before additional costs even begin to add up. Currently, the supports that help in the way the everyday reality of those in the midst of cancer treatment are offered by NGOs. I applaud the volunteer driver service and the NGOs that provide night nurse care when a patient is terminal and care has reached the end of life. These are all exceptionally helpful. However, it saddens and angers me that while we have charities and NGOs providing empathetic support, the government is not only failing to do likewise, they are actively adding to the huge burden that cancer patients and their families face. Is it not enough to hear that the dreaded words is cancer and the emotional toll that takes on a person and their loved ones? Is it not enough that the harsh reality is that when people face cancer, not only do their finances cease to improve, they fall considerably? Once again, I support this motion and call on the government to abolish the parking rates, or at least, at the very least, implement the promised cap on parking payments, ensure a complete overhaul of the medical care system, and put an end to the debt collection and scrap the ridiculous €80 charge, inpatient charge for cancer patients.
The National Public Health Emergency Team is currently reviewing the use of masks in primary schools. Representatives appear before the Oireachtas Health Committee this morning. Deputy Cathal Crowe described the ongoing use of masks in primary schools as a struggle and asked when this measure would be stood down. Deputy Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ronan Glynn says it is currently under review.
We made a commitment that we would review that recommendation in February with a view towards either continuing with it or stepping it down from the time the children go back after the midterm break. And so we're in the process of reviewing that evidence at the moment, and we'll consider that over the next 10 days and make a recommendation.
Serious concern has been raised over what's been described as not fit for purpose facilities for students with special educational needs at an Inishowen school. Anthony Harkin's 15-year-old son AJ attends Scullwarra in Buncrana, and along with other pupils with special educational needs, has been moved to a building off campus with COVID cited as a reason for the move. It's claimed the property is not wheelchair accessible with damp and mould issues. Mr. Harkin told the 9 till noon show that compared with the previous facility, it's as if the pupils are in a cage.
They're off campus, they're in a building, I don't know, it's about 400 yards away from the main school. But the building itself, it's just a house, Greg, and it's simply not fit for purpose. It's not wheelchair accessible, and there's clear damp and mould issues, and it's not a good place for the kids to be. Originally it was down to COVID, which, you know, it was what it was at the time. Everybody was concerned, and it was only supposed to be temporary.
Mm-hmm.
But we learned there just before Christmas, I happened to be in there, and I was talking to the teachers, and it became clear that there was no plans to move them back. They were going to be staying here at the lake house, or there at the lake house, until this new building was finished. It seems like they were just the easiest group to move because they have no need to move from classroom to classroom.
Mm.
I happened to be in the lake house yesterday because AJ had a seizure, and I had to pick him up at lunchtime. And I didn't want to be in the building myself. It's not a nice place to be. And I had a walk around, and you can clearly see the mould on the walls, and that there was panelling done last year to hide the damp. There's a section of the floor in the main classroom that's given away, and it's been covered by a sheet of ply. There's no room. There's another child as well as AJ in a wheelchair, and he is able to get himself about, but he doesn't have any room. They're like this, stuck in a cage compared to where they were.
In a statement, Scullwarra says the use of the off-campus units was a temporary measure and will be revisited when school COVID guidelines are revised. Funding has also been secured by the school for the building of a new complex with special class units. The Taoiseach has said he has an open mind on not raising the state pension. It's after an Oireachtas committee recommended keeping the qualifying age at 66 rather than following the Pensions Commission advice to raise it to 68 by 2039. It also advised getting rid of mandatory retirement ages in employment contracts. Taoiseach Micheál Martin says they haven't made a decision yet on the future of pensions.
I have an open mind. Genuinely, government will approach this with an open mind. There's no point in pretending to future generations that we've left them short, that this generation has not devised policy responses that guarantees and sustains pensions well into the future and decades ahead. That is has to be a core objective of the entire House.
A Donegal deputy says it's astonishing that justice has never been served on Person K, identified in the Greenwich report as having been involved in multiple murders and attempted murders in the Northwest between 1989 and 1993. The recently published report details that so-called Person K is believed to have been involved in the deaths of numerous people, including the assassination of Councillor Eddie Fullerton. Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin was speaking during statements on legacy issues on Northern Ireland in the Dáil last night. He called on the Justice Minister to examine and act on the findings of the report.
This person is closely identified with the murders of Gerard Casey, Councillor Eddie Fullerton, Thomas Donaghy, Danny Cassidy, Malachy Carey, and the massacres at Castle Rock and Greysteel. Minister, I'm appealing to you and your department officials to deeply examine this report, particularly Person K, a mass murderer with a license to kill. He must be brought to justice.
A leading MICA campaigner has voiced his frustration over a lack of progress on the delivery of the enhanced MICA redress scheme announced back in November. Paddy Diver claims Donegal County Council need to refocus its efforts. On the 9 till noon show this morning, he hit out at what he has become a cycle of cancelled meetings, saying instead of what is happening at the moment, the council should be concentrating on ensuring that the €5,000 emergency fund for homeowners is administered as quickly as possible.
That's 5,000 emergency money. We want answers of when this is coming. Is there a programme lined up for it? They're on house fighting. That's doing my head in. And the 5,000 is passed by the government. It's going to the council. The council then allocate it to the people. So what we want to know is, I phoned up the council to find out what's the plan. Have they got a programme lined up for it of how it is allocated, what way it goes? There's no answer. So, like, that's what they should be getting their answers ready for instead of the on-house fighting. A council official went to the newspapers and said that I shouldn't be saying these things over social media. I think they should be using their energy, getting their ducks lined up in a row and getting these meetings passed on. You can't have six meetings cancelled. The on-house fighting is a shambles. It is a disgrace and it has to stop.
Colliers who have been crossing the border into Donegal through Claddy Village will now have to rethink their route. It's after 7.5 HGV weight restriction signs were erected in West Tyrone Village in recent days after a significant local campaign. The community had previously voiced concerns relating to heavy-duty vehicles passing through the village, resulting in the road surface being broken up, while a narrow bridge in the area was also posing problems. MLA Melissa McHugh says it's now down to the relevant authorities to ensure these restrictions are now properly adhered to and enforced.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to kick off your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time for sport. We say good evening, Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Catherine. We start with local football. Fan Harps have confirmed the incoming board of directors and the structure for the coming year. Ian Harkin, founder of Donegal-based Arklu Limited, who created the internationally successful Lottie Dolls, will serve as chairperson of the board. Ian takes over the role from long-serving chairman Sean Quinn. Vice chair will be filled by Ivan Harvey, who will also maintain his role as infrastructure officer. Cathy Taff is returning as club secretary. Lorna McHugh is to continue as club finance officer, while Aidan Campbell is once again appointed commercial and marketing officer. Aidan McNeil has the role of engagement officer, and incoming director and current media officer Ethan Lee will act as the club's communications officer. Fellow newcomer Thomas Keyes has been appointed as the fundraising officer. Big game on the pitch tonight, cross-channel in Scotland. Celtic are seeking a first win over Rangers since December 2019. The old firm rivalry is renewed in the sole Scottish Premiership game, which kicks off at 7.45. Ange Postecoglou says he's relishing the chance to experience an old firm at Parkhead. A win for the hosts would see them move ahead of Rangers at the top of the table. Postecoglou, who was appointed last summer, admits tonight's game is one of the reasons he moved to Glasgow.
I'm looking forward to it, yeah. I mean, that's the reason you're kind of involved in football, and yeah, it's one of the main reasons I relish the opportunity to take over this football club, because you're involved in big games and with big crowds, with big consequences.
Rangers manager Giovanni van Bronckhorst says there's a few bigger occasions in club football than the old firm derby. He has experienced the fixture as a player and is excited to get his first taste of a match from the dugout as manager.
I don't think they're going to be bigger games in club competition in the world. So for us, it's another game to enjoy and make sure we have a good result.
Roy Keane is believed to be among the candidates for the vacant manager's job at Sunderland. The League One club sacked Lee Johnson at the weekend following a 6-0 defeat to Bolton. Despite that loss, Sunderland are third in the table. Keane cut his management teeth at the club, leading them to promotion in 2007. Mason Greenwood has been released on bail. A Manchester United forward was arrested on Sunday when a woman reported online that she'd been physically abused. Greater Manchester police were twice granted extra time to question Greenwood, who was further arrested over threats to kill and sexual assault. His club said the 20-year-old will neither play nor train with them until further notice. In Gaelic games, the colleges Sigerson Cup quarterfinals continue this evening. Already started at the Dublin City University Sports Ground. DCU are taking on University Ulster. Dunlow's Mark Kern has started for DCU at cornerback, but it's the Jordanstown side from Ulster that are leading there by 3-1. Among the starters for Jordanstown today are Tyrone's Dara Canavan, Liam Nugent and Michael McKernan. Also tonight, University of Limerick are taking on Queen's University of Belfast as sides tonight looking to follow MTU Kerry and NUIG into the semi-finals. Well, Tommy Conroy has emerged as an injury concern for Mayo manager James Horan. The forward suffered what appeared to be a knee injury while in action for NUI Galway in that Sigerson Cup tie last night. Conroy played for Mayo in the National Football League against Donegal last Sunday. NUI beat LYIT 2-8 to 1-8 to qualify for the semi-finals. Manager of the LYIT is Maxie Kern, and he was proud of his players' efforts this season.
A huge hard look where LYT as an institution is only finding its feet in Sigerson football, but look, we've shown that we can compete with anyone, you know. As I'm taking out UCD last week, and you know, we've gone toe to toe now with UL and NUAG away from home, and we've held our own, and I think we can hold our heads up very high, and that augurs well for the future for LYT. You know, we keep talking about, you know, what a great institution it's become and how it's now attracting Donegal students from all different arts and parts, and now that they have a Gaelic football team as well, that's another added bonus for everybody to have, to be competing at Sigerson level so strongly as we have done this year.
And there's more from Maxie Kern available to watch that interview in the sports section of highlandradio.com. Finally, in athletics, Letterkenny AC and Fun Valley will compete at the European Champion Clubs Cup Cross Country in Portugal this Sunday. Letterkenny gained the place by winning a first ever National Senior Women's Team title in November, when Fun Valley on that day also claimed the under-20 gold to book their slot. The event, which will be held in Oras outside Lisbon, makes a return to the European calendar after a 3-year absence. Anne-Marie McGlynn, who finished 6th at the Nationals, will not compete this weekend for Letterkenny. She's picked up a slight injury in recent weeks. So the Letterkenny team will be Nikita Burke, Christine Russell, Nolene Scanlon and Natasha Adams. The competing Fun Valley team are Eimear McCarroll, Sarah Bradley, Nuala Boss and Eimear O'Brien. And that's your sport for today here on Highland. We'll have more tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news.
Thanks, Oisin. Returning to news now, the community of Glenties have been praised for their part in the investigation into what was referred to in court as a Wild West shooting rampage. Yesterday, 24-year-old Stephen Dowling of Byrne Road in Carlow was sentenced to 8 years in prison after firing a number of shots from a high-powered telescopic rifle in Glenties in February of 2020. Sergeant Paul Wallace of the AGSI says the role of the community was vital.
I think the community in Glenties, you know, they're to be commended because they were very forthcoming to the investigation team. They didn't go out talking left, right and centre to different people. They kept it all fairly tight, which is important from an investigative point of view as well.
And a boy from Kilcar has been commended for his bravery by the HSE's National Ambulance Service. Owen Cunningham raised the alarm after his father fell off a cliff last year. Donald Kavanagh has the details.
10-year-old Owen Cunningham from Kilcar raised the alarm after his father Seamus sustained injuries when he fell from a cliff in November 2021 while working on farm fencing. Owen ran home and raised the alarm before cycling back to his injured father and waiting for help to arrive. His father Seamus was treated for his injuries by National Ambulance Service staff, including a paramedic and advanced paramedic from Killybegs Ambulance Station, before being airlifted from the scene by the Coast Guard R118 helicopter. Those who attended the incident were impressed by Owen's calm and brave response and wanted to acknowledge this with a certificate of bravery that was presented to him at Kilcar National School earlier today. The event was attended by a number of the emergency service personnel who were involved on the day, including the paramedics, Coast Guard volunteers and Rescue 118 crew. We'll be right back.
weather now. Cloudy tonight with outbreaks of rain and drizzle. Lowest temperatures of 6 to 8 degrees. Closing headlines now. Eurogroup finance ministers say they're concerned at the impact of high inflation on people's purchasing power. Inflation rates in the Eurozone hit a record high in January. The Dáil has been told that cancer patients in the Ceuta region have the worst outcomes in Europe. The National Public Health Emergency Team is currently reviewing the use of masks in primary schools. And serious concern has been raised over what's been described as a not-fit-for-purpose facility for students with special educational needs at an Inishowen school. That's it for now. We're back with the headlines for you at 6. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, the 2nd of February. The death has occurred of Bobby Fullerton, 18, Lisowen Avenue, Buncrana. Removal from Murphy's funeral home this evening at 9 o'clock, going to his mother Sarah Anna Fullerton's residence at Hillcrest Ardravan, Buncrana. Removal from the funeral home is limited to family only, please. Removal on Saturday morning at 9:15 to St Mary's Oratory, Buncrana for Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock, followed by interment in St Mary's Cemetery, Cock Hill. Bobby's Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time, please, from 11pm to 11am. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to White Oaks Centre, care of any family member or Murphy Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Mary T. McConaghley, Doabeg, Fanad. Funeral arrangements will be confirmed later. The death has taken place of Teresa Bradley, Barnes, Termon. Her remains will repose at her home from 6 o'clock this evening. Requiem Mass on Friday morning at 11 in St. Columbus Church, Termon, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Patrick McGeady, Paddy Sean, Dunluí, Gwydor. His remains are en route to his late residence. Funeral in Sacred Heart Chapel, Dunluí, at 12 noon on Friday, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Rosary nightly at 9pm with house private from after the rosary until 11am. Funeral Mass can be viewed on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page. The death has occurred of John Burns, 61, Coney Road. Funeral from his home on Friday morning at 9:20 to Sacred Heart Church, Muff, for Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. House private for family only, please, from 9pm to 1pm. The death has taken place in the Shetland Islands of Maureen Robertson, née Gamble, formerly of Tulnery, Carndonagh, County Donegal. Funeral will take place later in Unst, Shetland. And the death has taken place of Sally Maxwell, née Kennedy, 7 Church View, Strabane. Funeral from her home tomorrow morning at 9:25 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane, at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. House private to family and friends only, please. Requiem Mass can be viewed via the parish webcam. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.